Washington. This is VOA News. Burkina Faso under state of emergency. Shooting stoked Jewish-Muslim tensions in Jerusalem. I'm Ray Kugel reporting from Washington. Burkina Faso's president declared a state of emergency and dissolved the government after protesters attacked parliament and other government buildings Thursday. VOA's Ann Look reports.
Thursday marks the third straight day of mass protests against President Blaise Compaoré's efforts to keep his office after 27 years in power. The day started off tense. Lawmakers were gathering inside the National Assembly Thursday morning to vote on the proposed change to the Constitution. Riot police outside Parliament were using tear gas and water cannons to push back hundreds of angry protesters. By midday, Ouagadougou was in chaos. Protesters had stormed Parliament and set it on fire. The government had withdrawn its proposed constitutional amendment. Ann Look, Dakar.
The World Bank is pledging $100 million to help recruit more foreign health care workers to treat Ebola patients in West Africa. The U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Samantha Power, told a group of European leaders that nations from around the world need to do more to confront what she calls the greatest public health crisis ever.
We need more doctors and more nurses, more beds and more treatment facilities, more personal protective equipment, more burial teams and more ambulances, more cell phones, more SIM cards, more motorbikes and trucks and helicopters, more plastic gloves, more bleach, and more thermometers, and the list goes on and on.
Ambassador Power stopped in Brussels after visits over the past week to Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia, the three countries where the Ebola outbreak has killed almost 5,000 people. This is VOA News. A U.S. nurse forced into a home quarantine after her return from treating Ebola patients in West Africa defied the order by going for a bike ride. Casey Hickox left her home in the northeast town of Fort Kent, Maine, to take a bike ride Thursday with her boyfriend. She tested negative for Ebola and says there is no need for a quarantine since there are no symptoms of infection. State officials are taking court action in an effort to detain Hickox for the remainder of the 21-day quarantine, which would end on November 10th. Iraqi authorities are alleging that Islamic State militants executed more than 200 people this week when they resisted the insurgents' takeover of their territory. Iraqi security officials say that 150 bodies from the Sunni Muslim Abu Nimr tribe, which resisted the Islamic State advance west of Baghdad, were found buried in a mass grave near the city of Ramadi. More than 70 others were dumped near the town of Hit. The Swedish government officially recognized a Palestinian state Thursday. Sweden's foreign minister, Margot Wallström, says she hopes the recognition would help revive the stalled Israeli-Palestinian peace process and that other EU nations would follow. It was also a day of more violence. A politically motivated shooting is testing the delicate status quo between Jews and Arabs in Jerusalem. Robert Berger has details.
Israeli police shot and killed a Palestinian who allegedly ambushed a right-wing Israeli activist in Jerusalem hours earlier. Police anti-terror units tracked the assailant to his home in a mixed Jewish-Arab neighborhood of Jerusalem, where he was killed in a shootout. The police raid sparked angry protests by Palestinians, shouting slogans and throwing stones. The shootings are further stoking Jewish-Muslim tensions in Jerusalem, which have been escalating since the Gaza War in the summer. Robert Berger, Jerusalem.
EU brokered talks in Brussels to restart the delivery of Russian natural gas to Ukraine hit an impasse Thursday over Russia's demand that Kiev and the EU first agree on how Ukraine will pay for the gas. This includes unpaid bills, Moscow says, amount to about $5 billion. A European Union official says a draft for a common understanding had been sent to Moscow and Kiev for consideration. Hope dwindled Thursday for finding any survivors of a mudslide in Sri Lanka that the government called the country's biggest natural disaster in a decade. 15 people who lived on a tea plantation are confirmed dead after a wave of mud rushed into their village about 190 kilometers from the capital Colombo on Wednesday. Soldiers are still digging through the debris for at least 100 missing residents. I'm Ray Kugel in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.